In the summer, mesquite pods fall to the ground, usually to be raked up by people or blown away by the wind. But one person's yard debris is Peggy Sorensen's main ingredient.
You want to taste your pod, so you're chewing the pulp.
Peggy is the kind of person you want with you if you're hiking in Arizona. She knows all about foraging for food in the desert and teaches classes about edible and medicinal plants. She stopped by our studio to show me how she turns mesquite pods into tasty treats. But first, she showed me the art of eating the pod itself.
You put it in your mouth, let the pod soften up a little. You can really taste it, chew around the seed.
As for the shell, you might want to spit it out, like a sunflower seed.
You can do either. I brought a little cup where you can. I'm prepared. Keep one in my car because I'm always munching on them.
I wouldn't have imagined it would taste like this because I think what I kept picturing and thinking of with my senses was the mesquite tree, and we think about like the mesquite grill and how that smells and tastes. And this is different. This is much sweeter.
Very different. And when they're completely dry, then you can break them up just like this. And you can use a coffee grinder or a magic bullet. And then just grind it like you would coffee. So here you go.
Peggy grinds the pods, then sifts the fine powder. That sweet, nutty mesquite meal can be used as a gluten-free flour substitute in recipes. And with the magic of cooking on the radio, we have a treat already made and ready to taste test.
That's just mesquite, sesame, or sunflower butter, and I believe I put some cinnamon in it.
Okay. Oh, this is good.
Peggy calls mesquite pods the sugar cane of the desert. And it's actually become her own locally harvested sugar substitute.
I just like to incorporate it into whatever I'm eating. I don't like to eat sugar, so the sweetness from the pods adds some sweetness to whatever I'm making. So that's how I love to use it.
So you gave us a little bit of a demo here. Can you tell me a little bit more about what the class is like? Is it sort of a bigger version of this, or is there something else?
First of all, I showed them how to identify the mesquite tree and when to harvest, which is in June, typically. But there are secondary harvests throughout the summer. Then I showed them how to taste a pod and make sure that it's sweet, because each tree is a little different, and you don't want to harvest a tree that, you know, sucks the moisture out of your mouth. Some of them just are not as tasty, and they could be growing right next to each other. So you want to harvest, taste it first, harvest from the sweetest tree. Then I'll show them how to dry the pods, how to grind them, and then how to make some. I'll let them taste some treats.
Is it trial and error to know which pods are going to be the taste that you want? You sort of just have to experiment?
Well, taste from each tree. That's really important.
So it really is, it's defined more by the tree than by some smaller notion. So you could have one tree that is terrific and the one next to it just really doesn't have it. And that might cover the entire tree.
All
those pods might be just not very good.
Yes. I'll taste two or three pods from each tree. And I've harvested from a street lined with mesquite trees. And I would say maybe one out of every four trees were worth harvesting from.
Really? Okay. So,
but it depends on your taste. Some people don't want the sweetness, so whatever you want. As long as it doesn't make your mouth pucker, you know, if it's pleasant, then that's fine.
Do you know how many pods on average there are in a mesquite tree?
It's like 10, 20,000.
Wow, really? Okay. And so in an average recipe, are you using 100 of those? I mean, I'm just throwing that out.
I weighed the last harvest that I never harvest all the pods. They ripen at different times, and if they fall on the ground, I don't harvest from the ground. It's only safe to harvest from the tree. And, you know, I may have maybe 10 pounds of pods from a single harvest.
That sounds like
a
lot to me.
Because
those are small, those are fairly light pods. We were holding them before, yeah.
Right. So you lay a tarp down and knock them out of the tree. And,
but that seems like a really efficient way, considering some of the great flavors you've shown us, to actually use these. Because as I've said before, and we were talking before, there are times of year where if you're driving in a neighborhood, you may just see them all over, and people will drive over them. And as you said, you don't want to harvest from the ground, I understand. But if you knew you could get great value on them and great flavor, why wouldn't you put a tarp down and just knock them down that way instead of having people make a mess of them?
Exactly.
Do you ever go on maybe what we'd call like rescue missions to make sure that the pods don't go to waste? I mean, is it one of those things when you're foraging, do you go to certain neighborhoods? Do you try to figure out a way to work within that?
I talk to people whenever I'm out, you know, getting my nails done or whatever. I talk about mesquite or whatever's growing at the time, because I harvest, you know, a variety of plants that are food or medicine. And if they have mesquite trees, I talk to them and see if I can help keep the trees from becoming a mess in their yard. And I'll discover some of the sweetest trees, and those are the ones that I go back to.
Well, Peggy Sorensen, great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Peggy Sorensen's next workshop on the many uses of mesquite pods is tomorrow at the Phoenix Public Market.